Heaven, thank you for this young man, and thank you, Lord. Man, they're, you know, just coming out of electronics. Like, I just pray all of us have that sense that it's not just pastors at pulpits that are the ministers. We're all ministers, even in the marketplaces. We need Christians out there growing businesses, making bosses profitable, providing for a community, whatever that might look at, and not separate that into secular versus spiritual, because any son or daughter of living God, wherever they step, wherever they speak, it's meant to become a spiritual act of worship to you. So thank you, though, also that you've gifted him in speaking. And Lord, open up our hearts to the things that you want to speak to us through him, and let him know in the depths of his soul that this is his family too, and that we welcome his words in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, amen. Thank you. Is my microphone working? All right, awesome. So I just love this guy, Craig. And got to meet Jill this morning, and just been impressed with them as a team in my own marriage, you know, working towards being one flesh, and most of the time not doing a good job of that. About 6 years married here. But I've been so just, I don't know what it is, but just touched my heart that you guys are pastors together. And the amount of love that they have for you guys is really what I sensed when meeting with Craig. It was really cool. So I wanted to tell you guys that the way he spoke of you, believes in you, is blessed by the Lord with you, was really impressive to me. I know pastors love their people and everything, but there's something special there of their love for you. So I wanted to share that for sure. Can we get a picture of my family up? I don't know. Oh, there we are. So that's me, my wife Becky, my eldest here, Rosemary, is 4, and then Oliver on the left is 2, and then Henry, who's kind of a grumpy guy these days, has some digestive stuff going on, is 6 months, so he's been keeping us up a lot. My wife is awesome, so she is just a trooper, 4 years old, 2 years old, 6 months. I mean, that kind of says something right there. And she's a stay-at-home mom, as well as a backup, and does all of our marketing for the business, graphic design. So she's just like powerhouse. And to tell you how sweet she is, Rosemary, when she was a little younger, she came up to Becky with sucking on a cracker, and gave it to Becky. You could tell that Rosemary really wanted mommy to eat this soggy, chewed-up cracker. And so my wife, I'd be like, thanks, sweetie, you know, I love you. She takes it and she eats it, right? I mean, I'm just like, oh, that's so cool. another time, Rosemary had this like fear of the fire detectors, the light that goes on and off, if you've seen those, and this fear. And so she was freaking out, and she happened to throw up this night too. And my wife ends up sleeping with her on the bathroom floor. I mean, just stuff like that. I'm like, wow, this gal has awesome love. So my wife, I've been real blessed with her like 6 years now, and so thankful for her, and our little kids are like so much fun. So we've been enjoying that for sure. Hey, guys. Didn't expect to hear. So blessed as a husband, as a father, as a businessman. A couple callings on my life. I feel like I'm in to invest in business and wealth for the kingdom, as well as speak the word of the Lord. So I'm so excited that, Craig, I'm so honored to be invited out here to speak with you guys. So thanks so much for having me, and I'm just going to try to speak what the Lord would have me say and then not say the stuff that I shouldn't. So one last thing about my marriage. When Pastor Tom Flaherty married my wife and I, I'm kind of known for being really zealous, even if that doesn't produce anything good. And there's a verse, it's like my life verse, zeal without wisdom is folly. And so when we got married, Tom says, zeal pointing to me without wisdom pointing to my wife is folly. And so that's kind of the story of my life right there. So yeah, want to pray, if you guys would pray with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your glory, for your presence, for your power, Thank you, Father, for being with us, being the Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, we ask for your power. We ask for your presence. We ask for your impartation, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the name of Jesus Christ. God, we ask that you'd send the messenger. God, send the messenger. Strike our hearts this morning. We need you, Lord. I need you. This whole message is for me first. Lord, I need my eyes open. Lord, we want our eyes open, set on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Lord, we need your presence. Would you send the messenger? Would you open our eyes, open our minds and our spirits to you, Lord, that we might receive great things, that we'd give to you our lives anew this morning in a new way for your glory, God, and our great joy in Jesus' name. Amen. Cool. So reading out of Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Go there. So this has just been one of my favorite verses throughout the years. I love it because I struggle with sin and how it speaks of the great cloud of witnesses that that the Lord of might and the Lord of glory is with us and watching over us. And if you know Hebrews 11 talks about all the hall of faith, you know, your Moses, your Abraham, David, Isaac, Elijah, and what they did and what the Lord did through them and in them, and even that they gave up their own life, and some were killed, some were stoned, some sawn in two. And it speaks of this great, epic people known as the church all throughout history that lived a life empowered by the Spirit and accomplished and did great things for his glory, even though they were regular folk like you and I. And then it speaks about laying aside. Well, I'll just read it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And I just love that. I love how it calls us. You know, there's a call there. First off, that we're in Christ, that Jesus is the author. So he's the one that initiated this whole thing in our life. You know, so think about your story. He is the author. He's the writer. He's the one that started this. And then as we're walking through our lives and we fall and we fail and we get discouraged, depressed, might have a good season, but then a tough season, things for family, friends, children don't work the way we hope, discouragement comes, the great accuser attacks our lives, then we're reminded next that he is the perfecter of our lives. So he is the author. He is the perfecter. And out of that place, we can run the race marked out for us, even in our own failings, even in our own pride and our sin. And if we set our eyes on him, if we repent and re-sign up for wholehearted obedience, that we can still run the race, that be constantly being reminded he is the author and he is the perfecter. And so, you know, you've heard this term, super Christians, and I think I often have this idea. I look at guys like Craig and Jill and, you know, super Christians, and wow, their love or the way they live, or man, I'm falling short in all these ways. You know, I'll often look and promote people higher than I ought in my mind, as if I cannot attain that, as if in Christ I don't have the same power. And it's what I'm reminded, and what I felt like I should share with you guys, is this is for all of us, that wherever we're at in our Christianity, that we can run this race, that we can set our eyes on him, that we can live lives that glorify the Father in thought, word, and deed. And there are really no super Christians. There's just broken folk, broken people that are struggling through life in most ways that are glorifying the Father because they lay down their life and pick up their cross and follow him. And so just want to encourage you guys that it was the Lord's hand that started your relationship with the Lord. And it's the Lord's hand. He who began a good work will bring it to completion. It's the Lord's hand that's going to carry you if you're struggling or having a hard season now. And it's the Lord's hand that is going to bring glory through your life if you say yes to it. And so, you know, you look at the heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11. That's like one of my favorite chapters too, just because of how it paints the picture. Abraham, you know, he lied in fear. He got fearful of, are we all going to die out here in the desert? So he goes into Egypt, and he actually lies to Pharaoh that his wife is like his sister, and it's this big mess. I mean, he really, really sinned there. Esau and Jacob, he deceived. He was deceptive. I think that's like what his name means or something. Moses murdered. Murdered somebody. I mean, kind of a big deal. David, adultery. And what do they all share? They share repentance. They sinned. They owned their sin. They repented, and they re-signed up for wholehearted obedience and worship to the King of Glory. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I sometimes have this idea in my sin that I have to have this like time of punishment, you know? You know, I blew up on my wife again. I struggle with anger. I blew up on my wife again. I have to be like in the God doghouse for like a week to recover, even though I've repented to her, she's forgiven me. I've repented to the Lord, he's forgiven me, but I'm still just unworthy to walk in joy. I'm unworthy to walk in his glory or his power or his authority when I'm working at the store and talking to people or being a father to my kids. I kind of have this idea that I have to be in the doghouse for a while, and that's so not biblical. So reminding myself and to you guys is when we sin, yes, sin is not from the Lord, but the Lord knows we're sinful. Like, he is the one that started this thing. He is the one that's going to bring it to completion. It's not really about us. All we are called to do is when we sin, repent, and re-sign up again for wholehearted obedience. And to me, that's so exciting because it takes so much of the weight off of, am I good enough, right? I just struggle with that. I struggle with, am I good enough to receive from the Lord all of his blessings? And that's the wrong theology, right? We were never good enough. It's not about us. It's about King Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. So my story, just to give you even just a dark year of my life, I give my life to the Lord. And for a whole year after that, because I struggled with drugs in my teen years, a year after I give my life to the Lord, I am still smoking pot. I am still lying to everyone, but going to church and youth group, and I'm just living this lie, right? I struggled in that season. You know, it was immature, it was wrong, but I knew it was wrong, and I had just given my life to the Lord. It's like total hypocrisy, right? And the Lord wasn't finished with me there. Okay, another sin in my past, I lost my job. There was a corporate takeover of a business I worked for, and I was collecting unemployment, but I wasn't completing the job search. But every week, if you've ever done that, you know, hopefully you haven't, but, you know, you got to press a button. Did you search for a job this week? Yes. You know, number two on the phone. I'm not saying it. I'm just pressing the button. Just press. You know, I justified it. But that was like a month's period where I am in sin again. You know, I'm lying. That's deceptive. That's wrong. That's not honoring authority. And the Lord convicted me, and I ended up calling him, and I said, hey, I lied about the job search for this amount of time. And, you know, I thought they'd be like, wow. Nobody has ever come back to us and told us that, so we're just going to let this fly. But no, they're like, you owe $6,000. Which I thank the Lord for, because it was a good season of learning, right? I was like, really? You sure? I mean, I'm trying to be good here. No. Oh, man. So my point with that is in our weakness, he is strong. Amen? So in our weakness, he is strong. And it's not a license to sin. It doesn't say that, hey, we can go sin because he's going to forgive us. I can just purposely be weak because he is with us. The Bible also calls us more than conquerors. The Bible says that we have a new name in Christ. The Bible says that we are a people, that this place is not our home, that we are pilgrims passing through. The Bible calls us to set our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So the amazing reality is in Christ, we have the power to live like Jesus lived. I mean, that's pretty profound if you think about it. That's pretty exciting. And so when you recognize that, and when we receive the forgiveness from the Lord when we do sin, it actually empowers us to live more like him. And so that's the encouragement that I was receiving as I was looking at this. So regular, again, kind of say this, you know, throughout the message, is we're regular people. The church is regular people. But in Christ, we are more than conquerors. So it's both and. We are sinful people, but we are amazing, awesome, extraordinary in Christ. So receiving that, like receive that in your hearts this morning, that the Lord has called you by name and he has started something and he wants to finish it. Regular, broken, sinful people can come and keep on coming to the foot of the cross in repentance and worship. Hallelujah. So point one was regular people can do this. I'll just backtrack there. Point two is looking to the author of our faith. So he is creator. He started this. He's the author. He wove you together in your mother's womb. He is the one who called you to himself. He's the one that started this. Galatians 3, verse 3. Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? And I don't know about you, but I do this all the time. Like I constantly forget that it is him in me, not me for him. It's him in me, not me for him. And I might have like a good streak where I'm kind of being a good husband, good father, you know, feel like I'm serving well or something. And I start to think that I'm kind of good and I am doing it myself. And then that's part of why when I do fall, I fall so hard, I think, is because I get that idea. And I think what the Lord wants to remind us this morning is that it's not us. It's not us. And I felt like I should say that again and again this morning. And maybe because it's me that needs it the most, I'm not sure. But it's all about Jesus. Now my testimony, I grew up in a religious home. You know, we went to church and the overall message growing up was Jesus is Savior, but Jesus isn't really Lord of your life, that you don't have to do what he wants you to do. You can profess Christ. You know, Titus 3:16 says, profess with your mouth, but deny him with your heart, right? And so that was kind of my upbringing, was Jesus is my Savior. Yeah, totally, I'd acknowledge that. But then I get to do whatever I want to do in life. So parents got divorced when I was like 10 and led to some anger, brokenness, you know, like I said, with drugs, just living the wrong lifestyle. And when I was about 18 years old, I was using some drugs, and I had never had like a vision from God before. And sometimes doing drugs, I'd hallucinate, a little bit different, but I had never had a vision from the Lord before. And I was with a friend. And actually, preface this, my best friend growing up, who also was living a godless lifestyle, got radically saved about 4 months before my conversion. And he would literally be reading the Bible to me, reading the catechism to me, reading godly books to me while I'm playing video games like stoned out of my mind. And he didn't care. He didn't care that I didn't care, but he would just keep on doing this. So 4 months, he is, he'd run over, you know, one time he burst into my room, he's like, "Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." And he, and I'm like, "That's awesome, man," you know. You know, he's just, but he's like on fire for Christ. And it was at the time I was like, whatever, that's good for him. You know, I kind of enjoy my sin over here, and but I know Jesus is Savior. But this is 4 months of this, right? And so I'm still doing drugs. And this night, 4 months after my best friend got saved, I'm with another friend. We're both doing drugs. And the Lord breaks into my life. And I was sober instantly, which is really cool because that doesn't happen like if you've just done drugs, right? Sober instantly. And I got this vision from the Lord, and it was very clear that I was like being controlled, almost like a puppet, by the devil with my life. Well, wait a second. I say I'm a Christian. How could I be controlled by the devil? Well, you can say Jesus is Savior, but deny him with your heart, right? So that's what I was doing. So the vision, I'm getting controlled by the enemy, and the Lord was like, it was like an invitation. Like, you can live your life controlled by the enemy, or you can give your life to me, give me glory, and impact the world for Jesus. And so I repent at that point. I give my life to the Lord, and that was the beginnings, which was really cool because I didn't initiate that. And that's kind of what I wanted to share. The testimony is because I wasn't looking for Jesus that day, but he was looking for me. So for those of you that have friends, family, kids that are not saved, like, keep on pressing in. Keep on praying. Don't give up. You know, there is no reason that my friend Ryan was supposed to be radically saved, There's no natural reason to think he was going to get saved because his heart was against God. There was no natural reason to think I'm going to repent and give my life to the Lord when I was 18. And so however far your son, your daughter, your friend, your brother, your mom is from the Lord today, do not give up. Pray, press in, be the widow that keeps coming to that king, asking the Lord to move, because it was his spirit that initiated that in you, in me, and we're praying in Jesus' name for the lost. Amen? So let us set our eyes on the author. Let's be reminded about the author of our faith, and let's pray into that. Let's seek that. Let's trust that him as the author. He is writing your story. And the more, you know, there's that verse that says, if you love me, you'll obey me. And I really struggle with that because I like don't obey him sometimes, right? And I received from the Lord that the more you love me, the more you'll obey me. And to me, that was awesome, because we can keep seeking him and love him and have our hearts grown. You know, David in the Psalm says, Lord, enlarge my heart. Enlarge my heart. You know, we're actually able to love more like him. So he has the largest heart, infinite love, agape love, and we can actually seek him, ask him for enlarged hearts and to have hearts that are more like his, to love more. And so let's seek that. Like, as a people, let's go for that. And let's not stop. Let's keep going. Let's keep pressing in. I just want to pray quick about that. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this people. Lord, we just ask in Jesus' name for your spirit, God, for your messenger to turn on, to ignite the spirit within us to a greater level. We know that if we're in Christ, that we are filled with the spirit, but we also know there's fresh infillings of the spirit. And Father, I ask for your fire today to fall. I ask for your fire to come down. In Malachi, it says that you are like a refining fire. In Hebrews, you say that you are a pillar of fire. And in Revelations, you say that Jesus has fire in his eyes. Lord, we want your fire to fall. Lord, we want refining. Would you ignite us, God, anew this morning? In Jesus' name. Amen. Point three is the finisher of faith. So where are you today? in your walk with the Lord? There's different seasons, right? There's running seasons that you're getting a lot done, but you're busy. You're at work. You have kids. You're at church. Your ministry, and you're running, and there's a lot going on. And in a season like that, you can get your eyes off Jesus. And then there's other seasons too that are like the slow seasons, where nothing's working quite like you thought it would. It's going a lot slower. It's discouraging. It's frustrating. Your relationship with your spouse isn't where you want it to be. You've given in to sin in some way that's caused pain. And there's other seasons like that, like a desert season or like a slow season. And we've heard this all said before, but like the Christian walk is like a marathon, not a sprint. And so let's remember that as we set our eyes on Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, that he's right here in front of us, that we'd set our gaze upon him, and that we would keep on running with him bringing the energy and the endurance. So we must have an eternal perspective. What are we doing with our 70 years on earth? Is it for the Lord, or is it for our own kingdom? You know, and I think we can all fall into our own kingdom works sometimes. We're building our kingdom. And I want to get our eyes this morning on Jesus Christ, on the God-man, the one who wraps himself in light like a garment, the one who dwells in unapproachable light, the one full of glory. Like, let's get our eyes off of our own kingdom or what the enemy would say is important. And let's get our eyes on the one full of light. 2 Corinthians 4:18. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So 70 years on earth, right? That's our portion. You know, maybe 80 years, maybe 90. We have that. We have this whisper. This little snap, right? Eternity is infinite. So any number, this is like I'm a kind of a math guy. So any number divided by infinite, it actually turns out to be zero. And so we live in this zero time, this very small time, the pilgrims passing through like a vapor, the word says, that we're passing through, and we have eternal perspective. We have an eternal home that is eternal. Okay, this is forever. And so what we do now affects, what we do with Jesus now affects where we go for eternity, what we do with Jesus, but then how we live our lives affects our eternal dwelling in heaven. And so we can actually have an impact. You know, we're called the sons and daughters of God. We're given all power, all authority in Christ, the Spirit filling us. The Bible says that we actually in Christ can do greater things than what the book of Acts talks about. And when you speak to somebody, you can actually have the words of life that impact their eternity. And so what are we doing with our days, day in and day out, you know? And I want us as a church to get ignited for this reality that we can impact people for eternity. And so let's be asking the Lord, what do you have for me? Take the reins. You know, when I was growing up and in my teen years, I was in the driver's seat. Jesus was my Savior, but I'm driving my car, right? And so let's get out of the driver's seat into the passenger seat. Let him take the driver position. Isaiah 40, verse 30, 31. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall be exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So again, he's the finisher of our faith. So as we're talking about running this race, running with endurance, you know, being called to live for him, let's constantly be reminded that if we trust in him, he will renew our strength. And when we step away from that, that's where we go grow weary. That's where that burden and that yoke is heavy. But in Christ, the yoke is light. So a rudder, I thought this was kind of a cool analogy. The rudder to a boat, right? It's like a small item. But you turn that off just a little degree, and you're going across the ocean, you can just land up hundreds of miles different than where you were headed to begin with. And so that's why relationship, it's called the oil of intimacy. That's why our relationship with the Lord is so important. So how do we grow in faith? So Hebrews 11 actually says it's impossible to please God without faith. So as a people, we want to be people of faith. So how do we grow in faith? Well, the word says that the faith comes by hearing the word of God. And so through the word of God, studying the word, daily devotion, or at least regular devotion with the Lord. It doesn't have to be where you're sitting down with your coffee, got a candle going, got your Bible open. It doesn't have to always look just like that. Daily communion with the Lord is what he's after. You know, I find it helpful to have daily devotions, but man, my baby's not sleeping right now, like at all, so I'm not sleeping well. We're not sleeping. With three kids, the business, there's a lot going on. I'm not getting the time that I used to. I used to think, man, if you're not having a daily quiet time, like bad Christian. And so I've gone through these years, a couple years now, where it's like, wow, this is way harder than I thought. I am really struggling to get enough sleep, let alone a quiet time. And what the Lord spoke to me recently is, son, I am enlarging your heart still. Son, I am still using you in the kingdom for my glory. Son, this isn't about you being XYZ. This is about my perfection working in you and through you. And so daily communion has been for me like my lifeline, because I haven't been able to get the daily devotions as much as I'd like. And so daily communion with the Lord, because he'll speak to you. He'll impress things on your heart. He'll build you up. Fellowship, you know, church, so important to be around believers. We need the church. We need each other. Honoring authority. I felt pressed to just speak a word about honoring authority. I think it's Romans 13 says that all authority comes from the Lord. Doesn't mean all authority is godly, but all authority comes from the Lord. And when we honor authority, even if we don't think that they deserve honor, so this could be parents. For you guys in the back there, call you out. Honor your parents, man. I mean, it's not even about, like, are they perfect? Honor your parents. Because there's something so powerful that comes in that, dudes. Like, for real. God will, his favor will be on you. Like, joy will come in a different way. I know you guys are like, that sounds kind of gay. I don't. But for real, like, just make a decision today. Like, I'm going to try to honor my parents in a new way, you know? For the rest of us, a little bit older, you know, honoring our president, you know? Some frustrations might be there, da-da-da-da-da. But, like, honor our president. Pray for our president. You know, pray for our authorities, our police officers. You know, I used to, like, hide from them in my car. And now I'm so thankful for them. And so honoring authority, there's something so powerful there, because ultimately, when you honor authority, you honor God. And so that's the real nugget from that. And he'll opens a door, maybe is a better way to say it. So you feel like stuck. When you honor authority, it opens a door because you honor the Lord. And so if you're not honoring authority, like, that's like a closed door in your heart. So I wanted to share just in this last season, like, personal stumbling, man. I mean, this last, Rosemary's 4. As I said, like, kids are way harder than I thought. We thought we just had it all figured out before kids, you know? For those of you that had kids, you, like, know what I mean? Like, you know, you're just going to like, oh, I'm going to go do all this stuff over here, and then we'll have the kids in the closet. It'll be all good. But it's been so much harder than I thought it was. And I'm a people person, so I used to be at, like, 9 different worship events a week, and, like, just because I, like, love that. I love being ignited by other people and other people's passion. I'm a people person. And then all of a sudden, I can't do all this stuff anymore. Like, I used to travel all the time. Like, we'd save all of our money before kids and got to go to cool places like Europe and Australia. And we can't, like, travel anymore. I'm like, dang, this stuff. No wonder they don't, like, you don't know how hard kids are, because maybe you wouldn't have them. No. Yes. So through the season, man, I mean, not enough sleep. So in my personal walk with Jesus, like, I've there's been areas of my heart, man, that I'm walking in, like, anger. Like, I've struggled in relationship with Becky. Like bitterness has gotten in at times. Anger. Like, I need to be repentant on a regular basis over these things, because they, like, creep in. And, you know, if Becky would do this, then I'd be free to do this. Or, you know, she should watch the baby more, you know, so I can sleep. And she's not sleeping either, so it's kind of selfish. But I've struggled in a lot of different ways, you know, over these last few years. Like, I feel like in some ways, if it wasn't for the Lord reminded me, I would call myself a failure, like, over these last years. I would call myself a failure if the old Tim was looking at this Tim. Like, wow, you know, why doesn't he just get his act together, you know, kind of thing. Why doesn't he just spend more time with the Lord? Like, clearly that's the answer. You just do X, Y, and Z. You draw near to him, the word says. The Lord will draw near to you. You'll get refined. And I would actually be calling that person, like, maybe in judgment, like a failure. And so that's been really hard for me to work through, because it's my whole ideology. You know, who am I? And who is God in me in the midst of a really pressing trial? And you've heard the fire that brings the dross out of the heavy metals. Like, this season has just tried me, man. Like, I've been refined, and I've seen a lot of icky stuff coming out of my heart. And so wherever you guys are at, if you're there's people here today, like, I knew it when I prayed about it, that you're going through a pressing trial of a season, and the fire is on you, and maybe some icky stuff is coming out. And what the Lord wants to remind you is he is the perfecter of your faith. He is the one that started this thing. Christ in you, the fullness of glory, will bring it to completion. So continue to repent. Continue to re-sign up for wholehearted obedience. He immediately deletes. He keeps no record of wrong, right? 1 Corinthians 13. He separates the sin as far as the east is from the west. In Psalms, we're told that. So whatever season you're in, if it's a season of stumbling, a righteous man falls 7 times but rises again. And I just speak that over you, that a righteous man falls 7 times, but he rises again in Jesus' name. And in him, you will rise again. And as a church, we keep falling as a church in different ways, but we will rise again in Jesus' name. I just want to end with Revelations 3:18. I counsel you to buy from me gold. And if the worship team would come up too, it'd be awesome. Revelations 3:18. I counsel you to buy gold from me, gold refined by the fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen. I mean, that's over me, man, like my season of struggle. My shame, my nakedness may not be seen. Your shame, your nakedness may not be seen. And salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Let's pray together. Lord of might, Lord of glory, Lord that is author of salvation. God, I ask this morning, I ask that you'd remind us, Lord, of heaven's song. Get our eyes on heaven's song. God, we wanna play the song of heaven with our lives. Father, I just pray for those in the room right now that have not given their lives to the Lord. Maybe they're like me growing up and, you know, Jesus, yeah, he's a savior, but I don't want to make him Lord of my life. Maybe that's you this morning. I want to create an opportunity for you to give your life to the Lord. And so, if that's you, just in your heart, say, Lord, I want my life to be yours. I don't want to own it anymore. Because when I own it, it's just bad. It's void of joy. It's not bringing you glory. It's a waste. And I pray for understanding of what it means to give my life to you, Lord Jesus. We know you came, you paid the price. I trust you this morning for my salvation, and I give you my life in Jesus' name. And if that was you, I'd love to even pray for you after the service. And also this morning, I felt like there's a number of folks that have just gotten their eyes off of Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. That we've got our eyes on worry or this world or busyness. And you want to come back to the feet of the cross this morning. You want to say, Lord, help me. I want my eyes to be set on you. I want my eyes to be set on you. I want you to take the yoke. And if everyone would just open their hands just to receive, I just want to pray that over you, that you would set your eyes, that he would fill you with his power. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, we ask for your power to come right now like a pillar of fire. Like a pillar of fire led the Israelites. God, would you strike each one of these hearts? Strike my heart with a pillar of fire. Ignite us, Lord. Help us, Jesus, to set our eyes on you, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Fill each one of these, God, in Jesus' name. You are full of glory. You are full of glory, God. Who is like you? Who is like the Lord? Who was and is to come? Who is going to come and make all things right? Who are we going to give glory to all the days for all of eternity? There is no one like you, God, in all the earth. And we say this morning, we say yes to you, God. We say we're sorry, Lord, for taking our lives again into our own hands, getting our eyes off of you, and we set them upon you, God. We ask you to seal this over each one of us, Lord. In Jesus' name.